Or you're not sure, does God really speak?
If you aren't sure that God speaks to people, that's a different discussion. I'd love to have that conversation with you. As I mentioned last week, the Dragon Dictation software app that I, software that I used on my laptop for a few years because of some tendonitis issues was pretty good, but I have reason to wonder exactly what I have accidentally sent out to some of you. So I apologize if that's necessary for me to do. Please receive that. And here's two or three little ones. One time I was signing off an email and I said, in Christianese, God bless, comma, Marlo. It heard, get lost, Marlo. Like literally. And I saw it, fortunately, so I made the change. Another time I just simply signed off, Pastor Marlo. It heard and wrote, Master Marlo. That one I left. I let that go. I was emailing Maureen, our office assistant, the day after our annual vision meeting a few years ago, and before I clicked send, I noticed that the sentence read, thanks, Maureen, for all your help in preparation for our division meeting. It's not what you want. Anyway, and there's a few more I could share with you, but might be in the category of pushing the envelope, actually, for public expression, to be honest. But if you bought me a coffee, I'm only 20% joking. So, remember last week when we said that the goal of engaging with the Bible should not merely be to make our life better, although being a Christ follower, we said life is better, more meaningful, more purposeful, not always easier necessarily, you know, the Bible doesn't promise that. But I got thinking, you know what, little silly illustration, remember our friends Tripp and Tyler, those that were here last week? I thought, there's another one, 1 minute, yeah, why not? Are we ready to roll with that? Number three. Oh, up, yeah, bottom, yep. He knows what he's doing. Shut up, Marlo. Sorry if I'm not supposed to say that, parents.
To hang a picture perfectly level every time, place a strip of tape between the two holes on a frame. Mark where the holes are. Remove the tape and stick it on your wall. Now drill. Perfection.
To hold your cookbook open while cooking, grab a slacks hanger with metal pinch clampers. Insert cookbook and voila! Note, be sure to remove slacks beforehand.
For a delicious snack, turn a muffin pan upside down. Place cookie dough over each inverted muffin hump, bake in an oven, and bam! Now you have a cookie bowl to put stuff in. Or not.
To get to the negative level in the original Super Mario Brothers, go to the end of 1-2. Hop atop the last pipe, face away from it, and jump backwards into the top of the pipe. Now walk through the wall and go down that pipe. You're now in negative world that literally never ends. If you need to get rid of a pesky rodent, you can do so with a single Dorito. Just take a corner of the Dorito and press the trigger of any gun pointed at the rodent.
And those are just some other ways to make life better.
We actually are not recommending that last one, right, Ian? So, remember we said this last week, that the goal, this is important, the goal of us as Christ followers engaging with the Bible should not merely be self-focused to make life better. Because it needs to be about the cultivation of a relationship with our Creator, who is the author of this book. It's good to know that nothing gets lost in translation from us to God, because He knows our thoughts, our deepest thoughts. And yet there are times when we can mishear Him. And a huge part of the role of the Bible in our lives is to help us clarify God's voice. And not only that, the Bible is, as the sermon, this message title, is God's word written down. God's word to you written down. That's what the Bible is. The written word is where hearing God begins. It's intentional that we begin this series with the most prominent way that God speaks to us through the Bible. Remember our young Samuel from last Sunday? The expression was from him to God, "Speak, your servant is listening." Well, every time we read the Bible, that needs to be our heart posture. Last week I said we'd look at some descriptors of the Bible which will remind us of the immense value of God's voice written down. And my one simple aim, last week and this week, one long streaming sermon between the 2 weeks, my one simple aim in this message is to have all of us go away and with new understanding and hopefully new experience in hearing God's voice spoken to us through his powerful word every day. So if you're reading the Bible, you can never say, "God doesn't speak to me." Don't say that. If you're reading God's word, God is speaking to you. So here are some descriptors. God's word, first of all, we got to move fairly quickly through this morning. God's word is supernatural. Let's never forget, God's word is supernatural. Hebrews 4:12, you can look at it. And I encourage you, I'm going to be having to just make reference to some of these verses this morning, but I encourage you this week to go to the website and or write these verses down now and just ponder them, read them, reread them, prayerfully park on these passages. As you, many of you, I know, in your heart, you're wanting to grow, as I am, in this thing called hearing God. Hebrews 4:12 is a great verse. The Bible brings the supernatural into our life every day. In John 5, Jesus said, "The scriptures point to me." So, that's supernatural. Jesus is the most supernatural individual of all time, of course. The Bible is supernatural because God himself is the originator of the scriptures. He supernaturally guided the recording of what he wanted many generations to know and experience. How did the Bible come together? Here it is, in a nutshell. It was written under the direction of the Holy Spirit over a time span of 1,500 years by people of all walks of life, including kings, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, scholars, politicians, herdsmen, a medical doctor, that's Luke, written from different places. John, imprisoned on the island of Patmos. Moses in the wilderness. Paul, inside prison walls. Written on three different continents, Africa, Asia, Europe. Written in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek. Its subject matter includes hundreds of topics spoken of with harmony and continuity from Genesis to Revelation. And most of all, through this anointed book, there is one recurring and dominant theme: God's redemption of humanity. Sometimes referred to as in the scripture, or not in the scripture, but this thing we see through the scripture, this reference, this dominant theme of God's redemption of humanity, sometimes referred to by theologians as the scarlet thread of redemption that we see right from Genesis, where we see very early on the need for a Savior. My friends, the Bible is a supernatural book. Open your heart to it and you might be surprised. Another descriptor: God's word gives life direction. Some people, in an attempt to find their bearings in life or in an attempt to process painful experiences, sometimes seek direction in all kinds of ways. You know this. That's why horoscopes are popular with some people, or shows like The Long Island Medium take off. And I need to tell you, my Christian friends, that God in the scripture warns sternly against this stuff. And that may be new information to you. But I need to challenge you with this. As innocent as some of it may seem, this stuff is under the umbrella of divination, mediums, fortune telling. Attempting to gain insight into a question or a situation or your future by occultic means. And the root of that is Satan himself. So it's understandable that God speaks sternly about not participating in that. And the main reason God is against involvement in this stuff is his loving motivation to be the one that you look to guide and direct your life. And there are scripture references on the screen. You can write them down or, again, catch them later on the church website and look at those yourself. So receiving direction from God is also not merely, you know, flopping your Bible open and putting your finger on it. That, I mean, not that you can't gain from any verse in Scripture, but that bypasses the privilege of cultivating a personal relationship with God as we get to know him through his word, brought to life in our lives through the Holy Spirit's power and our obedience to it. So the Bible is God's thoughts. It is God's direction on common issues of life that don't change from generation to generation. Things like, you know, how to get to know God personally, obviously, as a starting place. Character issues, money management, sexuality, relationships, integrity, compassion, and on we could go. And dialing for us, dialing into God's voice on these things means being disciplined enough to regularly spend time reading God's word, to push the pause button on life daily, taking time to read and posture our heart and our mind to listen and reflect as we read systematically, as we prayerfully ponder and even memorize some phrases or verses and grow in love for and appreciation for his word. As we live life with submission to God's word, we will grow in our love for God's word because we'll see the relevance of it more and more. And as that happens, we'll experience Psalm 119, 105, that God's word is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. And I'm not going to sing Amy Grant right now. YouTube her. She's awesome. Oh, Lyle. What? I think I recognize that voice. Bill Hybels in this, the book that is one of the primary resources for this study, says the more devoted you become to learning and living God's word, the more you'll sense his divine voice in your life. Another descriptor. God's word is worthy of honor. We don't have time to get into this one, except to reference this Psalm 138, verse 2. God places this much value, God, on his word to us. It's got to be a priority for us then. Another descriptor is God's word is reliable and trustworthy. Psalm 119, 24, your laws give me wise advice. Now, if the Bible is an unfamiliar book to you, or your perception of the Bible is shaped merely by what you've heard or by what you've read from a skeptic, I would submit to you that you owe it to yourself to come to a decision about the Bible for yourself. Wouldn't you agree? Allow me to recommend a little easy-to-read pamphlet. Fair bit in here, but there's some good stuff. Just an example, and there's other resources. Some of Lee Strobel's stuff is good, as you've heard me talk about that before, but you can go to Rose Publishing and put Why Trust the Bible in the search bar, and you'll find just some excellent material on is the Bible reliable, trustworthy, accurate, historic, God-breathed. You owe it to yourself to do some research. Have you? A lot of Christians haven't. And certainly if you're a seeker and trying to figure that, that's this important. It's important for you to probe and come to a decision on for yourself. 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is inspired by God. The Word of God says that, and of course that's circular reasoning, and there's other proofs and factors, though, of course. But it's true. When you know God's Word, you know that 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 is true. The Bible is absolutely reliable. That's why when we sense what might be a prompting from God in our minds, we must test it with Scripture to be sure the impression is aligned with God's thoughts. When we don't do that, we can end up, you know, going kind of all over the map. As we read God's word, a prayer expression like the following opens the doors to all kinds of possibilities. What if we prayed something like, God, I want to hear your whispers throughout this day so that my life can make a difference for you. But sometimes I get going a little bit fast at a fast pace and I may miss your prompting. So if there's anything, here, imagine yourself sitting early in the morning. Or at night, or whenever it is you have some time alone, and hopefully you do, and if you don't, find it. But you're saying, if there's anything, God, you want to say to me, or anyone you want to bring to my mind to pray for, or to reach out to in some way, or any nudge, God, that you want to give me, I sit in this unhurried place. I'm all ears. What if that was your prayer for every day for a month? I think some cool things would happen. And such whispers, such promptings can lead to many different things. And yet, you know, those, again, still need to pass through the filter of the reliable word of God. But I'm simple enough to believe that if we ask, God will lead us that way. And again, such whispers can lead to anything from helping someone in a practical way to stopping and listening, really stopping and really listening to a coworker's painful situation that they're sharing, or sharing an authentic expression of encouragement about someone's character, or showing patience with an overbearing neighbor, or giving some money to someone in need, whether we think we can afford it or not, or just all of these things of representing Christ, of being salt and light in our world. Or some larger redirections in life can come about there too. And you know what? You don't have to be scared of that, because he's the designer. He's the creator of everything and of you, knows you best, loves you most, has your best interests in mind. So do not fear the will and the direction of God. Ask for it. God's word, another descriptor, is strengthens and sustains us. We'll skip to the next one as well for time's sake. God's word is a solid foundation. Isaiah 40, the word of God stands forever. The Bible is the foundation for all other ways we receive guidance from God. In some Christian circles, this thing of God's voice can become a flippant, I think at times a flippant, we've got to respect. And again, this is the foundation. God's word is the plumb line. It's the benchmark. It's the reference point for every whisper or prompting that we say we hear from God. It's the true north. It's our standard. Is a foundation important? Obviously it is. And some of you in the construction world know this more than the rest of us, even in our houses, that relative to most, you know, a lot of buildings anyway, are small. Crucial. Did I just say that with a junior high emphasis there? Crucial. Anyway, it is very important. Think about foundation for what will be the tallest skyscraper in the world, the Kingdom Tower in Saudi Arabia, 1,001 meters high. The foundation work on this structure involved, is that there? A picture of that? Or are we on the... There we go. The foundation work involved for that involves sinking a total of 270 piles. 72 of them, 1.5 meter in diameter, 110 meters deep. 154 of them measuring 1.5 meters in diameter to depths of 49 and 89 meters. And then 44 of them, 1.8 meters in diameter, 50 meters deep. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Obviously, foundations are crucial. And so I ask the question, what is the foundation of your life? God wants his word to be that for every one of us who claim to follow him. Apart from God's word, the Holy Spirit guiding us in it, we are lost and even powerless as a church and as individual Christ followers. But if we drill down, put our pilings deep in God's Word, allowing our hearts to be drawn to it and build everything we are and everything we want to be and everything we do upon it as our foundation, we then will get to partner with God in His purposes through our lives in this world. And that's some exciting stuff. There's nothing I'd rather do. There's a bulletin insert out of our Pentecostal Testimony magazine in the bulletin today that I really strongly ask you to read. Kind of ties in with this, the foundation of God's Word. And then God's Word cultivates an understanding heart is another descriptor. And God's Word shapes character. And for time's sake, we'll just skip ahead to slide 12. God's Word is the complete and final authority. We've got two more. Listen. And that's not to mean you weren't listening. But listen to this. No matter how spiritual a person may appear to be or come across, or how wise or how knowledgeable or how articulate or how, including myself, I'm not saying I'm those things, but when I'm speaking up here, you need to check everything I say. I remember my dad saying this as a kid, and even as a kid, it had obviously a degree of impact on me. I thought, I just recognized when he said it that that's good. Check what is said up here or anywhere with the Word of God, please. If you come up or hear something from someone that contradicts Scripture or even, you know, seems to chafe against God's written voice, your spiritual spidey sense should go on. A few months ago on YouTube, I heard a pastor say something that concerned me. His point was, it was all kind of all about pursuing the miraculous, which is great, fine. Miracles, of course we want them. Jesus did them and He still wants to do them, and He does today. But in, like with anything that becomes the bullseye on the target, you know, an overemphasis or an overpursuit. In this case of miracles, we can get a skewed doctrine in, or get things out of balance, at least in other areas. And here's what I mean. This pastor said this. He said, it's difficult for us, and he was talking to his church, or believers in general, a Christian body. It's difficult for us to expect the same fruit as the early church had. When we value a book they didn't have more than the Holy Spirit they did have. And people clapped. That concerned me. That concerned me. I was disturbed by that. Since when is there a fight between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God? No. Friends, I encourage you to have your radar on for anything that you may hear that denigrates or belittles or undermines the authority or respect for God's Word and its role in our lives that God wants it to have as Christ followers. It can be dangerous territory that we get onto otherwise. For the Christ follower, the Bible is the final authority. It's why seekers in the city of Berea in Acts 17 were commended. They listened to Paul, and then what does it say? They took it at face value? Nope. What's the next part of that? Verse 11, Acts 17. They searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. That's what a fantastic model for us that I was just mentioning a moment ago. Word of God is final authority. And then, lastly, God's Word is a treasure. Psalm 119:18 talks about the wonderful truths. And most of all, that God's grace. I find out that it's even possible for me, as a sinful human being, to spend eternity with my Creator in heaven. Because of what is declared about the grace of God through Christ Jesus' work on the cross in this book. And the Holy Spirit, His role is to draw me to that truth, to point out, to convict, to point out my need of a Savior. The Word and the Spirit. Spirit and truth. They're a team. God's word is a treasure. There are great treasures sometimes found at sea. The greatest of which, according to therichest.com, I read this week, the Black Swan Project, it's called, worth $500 million. After discovery in 2007 by Odyssey Marine Exploration, they uncovered and flew 17 tons of coins from Gibraltar to an undisclosed location in the U.S. After 5 years of litigation, the courts ruled in favor of Spain, and the treasure had to be flown back. Oh, that's a bad day. But don't worry about Odyssey. They've laid claim, apparently, to a lot of other discoveries, treasures. We're fascinated by treasures. Eh? No matter what type of treasure we're talking about, there is no greater treasure than the treasure of God's word. There just isn't. Really, there isn't any greater treasure than the one I'm holding in my hand right now. Huh. Because it contains the very words that God wanted us to know about who he is, about who he wants to be in our lives, about how to get along with, you know, on everything. It's a treasure. It contains his plan to guide us into experiencing life as he designed for it to be lived. He describes, defines, explains so clearly. Yeah, there's things we don't understand. I don't know about you. I shouldn't speak for you, but there's things in here that I don't understand. That I'm going to have to, you know, hopefully get an opportunity to talk to God about. But I think once I get to heaven, it's going to be, you know, that's just not so important, or I'm going to know, or I don't know how that'll go. But yeah. But the greatest truth of how to know God and walk with him in this life with faith and trust and confidence and living faithfully through the storm, all those things, it's pretty simple. Pretty simple to understand. As a matter of fact, the simplicity of the gospel sometimes keeps people from embracing it. Oh, come on. There's got to be more. I've got to have a little more to do with this. You know that idea or whatever it is. Yeah, I'm just saying there's things in this treasure that I don't understand. But what God wants me to know is abundantly clear about how to live for him and surrender to him and walk in relationship with him so that everything in my life is affected and impacted in a Christ-like way. So with that in mind, I just have put this morning up here some scripture cards. And after we're dismissed, I'm going to encourage you just to browse by at your own time. And if a stack of cards, they're topical, so keep them in their stacks. When a stack, if a stack gets totally taken by you taking these references under different themes, there's a photocopy on the blue sheet of the theme and the references. So then you don't miss out. You can just write down the references on the theme that just kind of your where you're at, you know, things here about salvation, verses. There's a card about assurance of salvation. Are you hounded by uncertainty? You know you've accepted Christ. You've submitted to him. You've received him. You've made a conscious decision to receive Christ as the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life, but you're hounded by uncertainty about going to heaven. My friend, that's not God. And God's word has something to say about that. There's a few references here that you need to park on, that you need to prayerfully ponder, and a host of topics, just a few of the many, really. So I encourage you to take advantage of that later. Before we conclude with a very brief video illustration about the Bible as a treasure, and I want you to open your heart to this that I'm going to show you. But I'd first like to show you these two images. And just ask the question, which is it for you? Which is it for you? Which, those of you that are walking with Christ, is it the Bible where you can actually write on it because of the dust? Or is it this attractive image that just draws us? And I'm just saying, it's the Bible more than the coffee. That draws us. Invite, it's the Holy Spirit's invitation every day to come and hear from him. Where are you at? Let the Holy Spirit guide you in response to that. And some of you are asking, well, how do I do this? I'd love to interact with you. Or there's other leaders, your small group leaders, other Christians you know in the body here that can share some insight on how they've journeyed and how they've grown and how they discipline themselves to learn and grow in God's Word. How do I get God's Word weaved into the DNA of my life? Well, my friends, there's no way around it. It requires us being, you've heard me use this phrase before, and it's not mine. Others use it, but I like it. It requires us being a self-feeder on God's Word, a self-feeder. And that's in contrast to people who may depend or try to depend solely on the Bible teaching they receive once a week in a gathering like this. I'm telling you, it's not possible to live our daily life in, to honor God and inspire others toward knowing Him without saturating our heart and our mind and having our priorities rearranged and our character tweaked and sometimes radically changed by His Word. It's just not possible. Time in God's Word, reading systematically, stopping. If there's great things about reading plans, and there's reading plans on our church website if you want to check out a few under the Know God Spiritual Growth. Go there to the Know God tab, and there's a spiritual growth. Click on that. But for some of you, the reading plan is starting wherever, starting in the Gospel of John or starting in Psalm and Proverbs, and you get three verses in and there's a verse that just resonates and that's where you're at, and David is expressing, where are you, God? That's me. And I just stop there, and maybe you just you pray about that. You just soak that up. It's not about reading 16 chapters, although there's something good about coming every once in a while and targeting the whole Bible in a year, for sure. I'm just throwing out options. You may want to read and meditate through Romans 12 over a protracted period of time very slowly. That's a rich chapter. Or you may want to say, okay, over the next 3 months, I'm going to read through the epistles and see what God says about really how to live out the Christian life and how we do church together. Epistles, book of Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the sixth book of the Bible, through to the second last book of the Bible, Jude. Some great stuff there. You've heard me refer to that recently, about character development, becoming like Christ, about good works to reflect His love. Some great stuff, great options. You know what? There's many options about how to approach this Word. Pick one. Just pick one. For the next month, pick one. Start somewhere with an open heart and approach to God. It's not complicated, really. It's tough to get going, though. And you know what? If you make a commitment for a 30-day period of and you miss a day, please don't bear the burden of false guilt. Just say, next day's a new day. Here we go. Thanks, God, for Your Word. Right? You can do this. If it's been an area of struggle with you and you've kind of given up, please don't. Re-engage. Please. Please re-engage in the Word of God. Don't miss out on the experience and the journey of seeding God's truth and His words into your heart, mind, and life. It will set you up to hear from God more regularly and more often. It will give fodder in your heart and mind for the Holy Spirit in those moments of stress, in those moments of temptation, in those moments when you're fighting with your spouse or your kids. The Word of God will more easily come out if you have taken it in. You wonder why life's a struggle sometimes? What have you been feeding on? So fundamental. So crucial. Some of you, let's tee up the video and then we're done. Some of you grew up in a home where God's Word was valued and loved. And if so, you're fortunate like I was. Yet when something is always there, isn't it easy to take it for granted? It is. There are places, you know this, there are places in this world where you risk your life if you have a Bible. As a matter of fact, on CNN a week or so ago, there was a cell phone video clip that I guess leaked out of China. Some of you may have seen it. I think it might have been Monday night here this past week, where dozens and dozens of government police were taking Christians, were abusing them, were taking down crosses from churches. And I mean, this stuff happens in our world. The Bible is a hated book in many places. And so to be reminded of the treasure, it's a treasure. To be reminded of the treasure that the Word of God is, I want you to watch this. Chinese Christians getting Bibles. If we can roll it back from the beginning and just bring the volume up. Let's restart this, okay? Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Thank you, God, for your precious word. Thank you. Thank you. Help us to know and grow in Jesus through it. As your eyes are closed and your head is bowed, I ask you the question. Have you been struggling with your intake, engagement with, reading of the Word of God lately? And this morning you're just saying, I don't even know totally what it looks like right now. I'm gonna seek out some guidance, some help. I'm gonna select for the next 30 days a systematic approach to not only diving into God's Word, not only getting into God's Word, but opening my heart in a new way to let God's Word get into my heart and shape my life. If that's your commitment you're making to Jesus today, I just want you to, everybody is just heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you just to raise your hand and I want you to hold it there. I want to pray for you this morning. Yeah. So awesome. Way to go. Way to go. Heavenly Father, I pray in this moment for these individuals that you love so much. You love them so much that you saw fit to ensure that your truth was recorded and passed on and preserved from generation to generation to this day for our eternal sake. And we thank you for that. I pray for each individual that has raised their hand this morning. May they know your wisdom, your direction. May they have the follow through, and may they experience the power of the Holy Spirit as the Word of God is brought to life in their mind, in their heart, and in their everyday life. I thank you and agree with them in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Wouldn't have been the same without you. Take opportunity to finish dialogue with small group leaders. So small group leaders, if you can go now to the tables right away, we'll let you out. And I see there is still a little bit of coffee and refreshments left there at the back. So help yourself. Have a fantastic day.